Chapter 16. Once the bodies were gone, the backhoe operator made quick work of the rest of the cars, but stopped when he got to the semi-cab. "I don't think I can do that one," he said. "And even if I could, it's probably going to destroy the concrete shoulder wall if I do." The policeman looked at me again. Apparently, I was the shell answer man. "I don't think there's anything wrong with it," I said. "We ought to be able to drive it off the bridge." "Well, how about getting on that, deputy?" he said, looking at me. I sighed and my shoulders slumped. I wondered if I'd been able to keep my mouth shut before the bombs fell. Probably not. The chief and I walked over to the semi-cab and I climbed up to the door. I stepped to the side as I opened it up and the driver fell to the asphalt. The chief looked at it a couple of seconds and then back up to me. "No bullet to the head on this one?" "It wasn't one of mine," I said with a shrug. "Hey, deputy," the chief asked as I started to climb into the cab. "Yeah? Aren't you going to do something with this body? You can't just leave it here in the middle of the bridge like roadkill." "That's what it is, though, isn't it?" He stared up at me with a frown. I favored him with an eye roll and climbed back down. "This deputy thing is bullshit," I muttered as I grabbed the body under the armpits and dragged it to the side of the bridge. "Can you at least give me a little help?" I asked. The chief gave me a grin, then he came over and grabbed the guy's ankles. Between us, we pitched him over the side. I climbed back up into the cab. The driver had a half-full bottle of water in a cup holder I used to wash the worst of the blood off the window so I could see out. Then I started the motor. The chief was still standing below, looking at me. "Can you drive that?" he shouted up. Without conscious thought, I threw it into gear and turned toward the end of the bridge. The fact that I made him scurry to avoid being run over wasn't relevant to the decision. It was just the way I needed to go. He had a smile on his face as he raced off to get into his car. I drove slowly down the bridge to Cedar Point, speeding up slightly as the rest of the cars started catching up to me. Even the backhoe operator, seeing us all headed in the same direction, began following us after a few seconds. Upon reaching the end of the bridge, which ended on the island of Cedar Point, I stopped and rolled down the window. The chief pulled alongside. "What do you think?" I asked. "Do you want to end your claim here, or claim the route all the way to the mainland?" "What do you think, Fred?" My eyes rolled. "If it was me, I'd go all the way to the mainland. If those folks come back, they could easily put up another barricade on this island. It's not much more than a bridge, just the road and a little bit of a shoulder on both sides." "Good point," the chief said. "Let's go to the mainland." I put it in gear and drove off again. When I thought about it, I couldn't really remember how I shifted or what the configuration of the truck's gears was. When I didn't, though, and just let muscle memory have its way, I could drive the truck. Maybe I was a psychopathic truck driver before the war. It didn't seem familiar, but then again, even psychos have a day job. At least I thought they did. How else did they afford knives, guns, and such? I drove back to the mainland, but found we had the same problem. There was nothing on either side of the road but a little bit of swamp. I drove for another half mile and finally came to what I was looking for. Trees alongside the road. I stopped the truck, pulling it across both lanes of traffic. "Okay, I'll bite," the chief said, pulling up alongside. "Why here?" I pointed to the trees. The pine trees weren't big, but they had lots of branches that would help make them bulky looking. "Knock a few of them over," I said. "And what have you got?" "Natural made barricade. Put enough of them down and they will even stop bullets for you, which is a pretty nice thing to have in a barricade." "Yeah, but this is outside my territory," the chief said. I raised an eyebrow. "Who is going to come and push you off this land? The only people who drive down this strip are people going to Dolphin Island. You might as well check them out here where you can turn them around easily, rather than wait until they're on the bridge, don't you think?" "How are we going to knock them down? Got any chains? Got a chainsaw?" "I've got chains," the chief said. Hell, I've got chains, the backhoe operator said. He'd pulled up and caught the last bit of the conversation. I won't need them to knock down the trees, though, just to drag them into place. He drove the backhoe off the road on the right to where the trees were and began pushing over the ones alongside the road. I got out to watch. Everyone likes watching destruction, right? But after the first few fell, I realized they didn't quite block the road, so I climbed back into the cab and pulled it forward until the wheels were just shy of the large draining ditch on the left shoulder of the road. It was muddy as shit, so I couldn't tell how deep it was. I had just about decided to break off a stick and test the depth when I saw a log about 100 feet away that was swimming along the ditch. Crocodile. Or alligator, I didn't know. All I knew was it was a big-ass reptile. I decided I didn't need to know how deep the water was. Incoming! Tom yelled suddenly. He pointed up the road, and I turned to find several cars and a semi-cab about a quarter of a mile away. Is that the one that got away? The chief asked as he came to stand next to me. I shrugged. Could be, I replied. Hard to tell from here. All of them started forward at the same time, and I could hear the car's engines revving from where we stood. On second thought, I added, I'm going to guess that's the one that got away and he's brought friends back with him. Grab your weapons, the chief yelled. I scrambled up into the cab and rolled down the passenger window. That gave me some elevation to shoot down on them and a little bit of cover. And no one would be stupid enough to ram something as big as a semi, right? From my new perspective, I could see there were three cars in addition to the semi. Two of the cars led the charge. The third car hung back behind the semi, probably using it for cover. The cars continued to accelerate as they raced toward us, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what their end game was. We had the road blocked with trees and then a row of cars. The cars roared closer, with one headed right at me. I shook my head. I only knew one thing. This was going to be messy. The two cars were side by side as they came into range, and I fired. At the sound of my pistol, everyone else opened up. My first shot starred the window of the one on the left, the one headed at me, and the driver jerked the wheel to his right. He went off the road and into the drainage ditch, throwing a huge sheet of water into the air as the car slammed to a stop. I turned to the other car and saw at least one hole in its window. I added a second, and it went off the other side of the road, crashing over small shrubs and underbrush. The soft ground slowed it a little. The tree that it ran into brought it to a complete stop. The semi continued straight for the downed trees, and I thought he was going to try jumping them. But then smoke poured from his brakes as he locked them up. The car behind him wasn't ready for the maneuver. There's no way the driver could see what was coming. And he jerked the car out from behind the semi. I had time for one shot before the car plowed into the side of my cab directly underneath me. I saw it coming and drop below the window so I wasn't thrown through it by the impact. Instead, I was slammed into the side of the door, face first. Things went dark for a moment or five. I don't know how long. But when I came to my senses, it sounded like a war was going on. I shook my head, trying to remember where I was and why everything looked strange. I realized where I was after a second, and that I was only looking through one eye, which made things appear differently than normal. I wiped my face, and my hand came away red. There was a lot of blood on my face and in my eye, which I tried to blink out as I crawled up and looked through the window. The truck driver was trading fire from the window of his cab with the police chief. A guy was pulling himself out of the drainage ditch. The men in the car below me were probably dead. Neither of them had their seatbelts on, and there were two impact marks on the front windshield. Most worrisome was the car off the road to the right. Four men were coming out of it, and we were going to get flanked. I looked around for my pistol for a few seconds, then realized my second one was in its holster. The man in the semi-cab must have seen the motion as I extended the pistol out the window toward him. He jerked back. He took the round in the shoulder instead of my original aiming point. However, when he jerked back, he exposed himself to the chief, who put two rounds through his chest. I turned and fired twice at the man coming out of the ditch. One hit him in the chest and the second in the stomach as he fell back. I could see that there wasn't a vest under his t-shirt. He was out of it. The men in the trees were trying to get behind us. Rather than meet them face to face, 4-on-1 isn't great odds, I decided to go around behind them, too. I opened the door and pointed toward them when the police chief looked up at me. Hopefully, he and the rest of the guys could keep them busy while I got behind them. I climbed down from the cab and shot each of the men in the car once through the head. I didn't know if they were dead. Now I didn't have to check. The chief's head whipped around toward me when I fired. All I could do was point at the men and shrug before running around the other semi-cab and into the brush. The shrubs and tall grass grew to a height of almost 3 feet, and I was able to run through them doubled over. They still probably could have seen me had they looked, but I wasn't high enough above the grass to catch their eyes, since I wasn't running toward them. I hoped. I couldn't see the man. They had dropped into the shrubbery to sneak up on my group. Not knowing where they were, I ran for their car while I switched magazines. I figured I could start at their vehicle and follow their trail, hoping they wouldn't be watching behind them. I made it to where the Chevrolet hissed from something cracked under its hood. No one remained in nor near it, so I turned back toward the barricade as people began firing. Happily, the chief had seen me point toward the car and had reoriented our men. If he hadn't, they would have caught our guys out of cover. As it was, our guys were ready for them and returned fire. Unfortunately, any bullets that went over the bad guys came damn close to me, and one slapped into a tree next to me. I remembered an adage from somewhere, something to the effect of, "Friendly fire isn't." I threw myself to the ground as several others buzzed past. The battle became a standoff. Our guys couldn't see the bad guys in the cover of the trees and shrubs. The bad guys couldn't hit our guys who were behind the cars, and I couldn't do anything without getting shot by our guys. I needed to get closer to the bad guys. Without thinking about how stupid it was, I jumped up onto the hood of the Chevy and waved my arms over my head. I immediately dove off the side as Tom saw the motion and took a shot at me. I heard the chief yelling something about identifying your targets and tentatively climbed back onto the hood of the car again. This time, no one shot at me and I mimed not shooting at the people in front of me. Of course, one of the bad guys saw the chief looking over their heads, turned, and saw me. Our eyes locked, and he fired. As my pistol was in my holster, I did the only thing I could. I dove back into the brush. Of course, this time I ended up in some brambles and scratched up my face and arms. It took a couple of moments for me to gather myself and to pull off a couple of thorn branches, and then I was in motion again. The shrubs and grass were a little higher on the left, so I crawled in that direction on my hands and knees. I had seen where the bad guys were when I was on the hood of the car. Assuming they hadn't moved much, I had a good idea of where they would be. The bad guys were still firing at my group, which helped me locate them and made it harder for them to hear me moving. While I could still hear rounds going past from my group, they now seemed to be going over a little higher. Within 30 seconds, I had worked myself into position. I could see 3 of the bad guys, and I thought I knew where the 4th one was. I took a breath and let it out slowly as I aimed at the closest target. He was on one knee and almost perfectly in profile. I fired, taking him above the ear, then shot a second man as he turned toward the sound of my pistol. The 3rd person got a shot off that hit the ground next to me, but then I hit him twice in the chest and he collapsed into the grass. He may not have been dead yet, but he was well on his way. The 4th man was the farthest from me, and rather than advance toward him when he probably knew I was coming, I tried to scoot back and go back toward the car to get around him. Apparently, he had the same idea, and we met at the car. His gun was already up and aimed at me when I saw him. My reflexes were faster, though, and I got my gun up. We fired at the same time, and I saw him collapse as the bullet hit him in the chest. His round caught me in the leg, and I looked down to see blood. A lot of blood. I staggered to the edge of the woods with my hands up, hoping that none of my group decided to shoot me. I reached the cut grass of the road's shoulder as my peripheral vision began to collapse in on me, leaving me with only a small tunnel to see through. I found the chief as I fell to my knees.
Got him,
I said. Then the lights went out in this fallen world.